Welcome to Climate Matters. We are here with Jessica Otney-Mahar of the Nature Conservancy. This is segment three of a discussion on the Nature Conservancy and its role in terms of environmental advocacy, preservation of lands, and climate protection. Thanks again, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to be here. Great to be here. So the first segment we covered kind of an overview. The second segment we did a little deeper dive into the Nature Conservancy and its role around climate policy and the advancement of recent legislation here in New York. So in terms of the climate and the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, what are the next steps? So what can people expect to see? How can they become engaged or learn more about it? What can people, you know, see on the horizon with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think all of us who are working on this, when the bill passed, we sighed a huge sigh of relief, and then we realized, whoo, we just created a lot of work. Yes. So, you know, the first step will be the governor signing the bill. So we're really excited and eager with anticipation for the bill to be sent over to the governor so that he can sign it into law. And once that occurs, a number of different groups will need to be created through appointments by both the governor and the legislature, the Senate and the Assembly. So the first group is the Climate Action Council. So this is a 22-member council that was established in the legislation. And the whole purpose for this council is to create a governance structure around a scoping plan that will be written on how we're going to meet all of these really ambitious goals in the bill. How are we going to get to a net zero carbon economy by 2050? It sounds far away, but it's not that far away. How are we going to get to 100% clean energy by 2040 and 70% renewable energy by 2030? That's really soon. And we're not close to that yet. So that Climate Action Council needs to be formed quickly because they only have 2 years from the effective date of the legislation to create a draft scoping plan. And along with the Climate Action Council are going to be a number of advisory panels. So, you know, when thinking about decarbonizing our economy, we think about the different sectors where we have emissions, things like transportation, land use, energy efficiency in buildings. And then we also think about areas where these policies may create a problem for New York State, or we may need to create some special focus to ensure that we don't have impacts that create job loss, for example, or that we're retraining workers. So there's an advisory panel for energy intensive and trade exposed industries. So these advisory panels will be led each by a member of that Climate Action Council, and their job is to focus and really drill down deeply on those key issues.
So this sounds like a pretty intensive effort. So an intensive effort to get the bill passed, now awaiting governor signature, then an intensive effort to do the scoping plan. So would it be fair to say the scoping plan is a bit of a mapping of next steps?
Yeah, it's a pathway, basically, to figure out how we need to get there. And in addition to those two groups, there's a Just Transition Working Group that needs to be thinking about labor and jobs issues, and an Environmental Justice Advisory Group that needs to be thinking about issues that have been facing different communities and populations of people based on economic and racial issues that are kind of baked within our society that need to be addressed as we're addressing this climate policy. So all of these groups need to be empaneled and start meeting. And you had asked originally, how do regular people participate? A lot of these meetings will actually be open to the public. Mm-hmm. And the scoping plan that they eventually come up with will be the subject of a number of public hearings all around the state. So the first, you know, the first thing, once people hear that the bill has been signed into law, and I have no doubt that that will make the news, is to start checking the website of, you know, New York State and probably DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation, and NYSERDA, the State Energy Research and Development Authority, because those are the two agencies that are going to be heading up that Climate Action Council. And they're going to be keeping information up to date on their website. Mm-hmm. And that way the public can really follow this process and think about, you know, do I want to read these materials? Do I want to attend a meeting? Do I want to hear more about what these working groups are doing?
Great, great. And in terms of, you know, you mentioned the role of NYSERDA and DEC as leading the Climate Action Council. Given that it is such an ambitious effort, how critical is it that those are the two entities, or the president and the commissioner mm-hmm. of DEC, the president of NYSERDA and commissioner of DEC, how crucial is it that these are the two that are leading this very ambitious effort?
Well, I think it's great that they're co-leading it, because there are so many important pieces and elements of this. And I think if you were just putting it into one spot, that would be a problem. And in addition to those two, there are many other state agencies on the council. So mm-hmm. transportation, economic development, many others. So really thinking about how this is going to dip down into all those various facets of our society. And the council is set up in such a way that they're equipped to do that. And I'm also personally excited that those two folks are leading it right now, because I think Basil Sagos and Alicia Barton are fantastic and really smart people. So I think from a, you know, a practical standpoint, those two positions are great. And from a personal standpoint, we have the right people in those places to lead this at this time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And back to some of the groups that will be reporting to the Climate Action Council, the Environmental Justice Working Group in particular, I'm interested in thinking about and discussing, you know, it's clear to me and clear to most people that disadvantaged communities have faced disproportionate impacts, whether it's diesel from mm-hmm. Buses, whether it's from peaking electric power plants, mm-hmm. whether it's from exposure to toxics. So one of the elements of the bill includes community-level monitoring mm-hmm. of air quality, which seems to me to be a great advantage in order to understand just how disproportionate those impacts are and where they're most severe. Is that something that the Environmental Justice Working Group will be coordinating with, the efforts of that community-level air quality monitoring?
Yeah, so the program needs to be established and go into effect by 2022, which again sounds far away, but it's really not. We're in 2019 already, so that's mm-hmm. just 3 years away. The bill requires DEC to start monitoring in four communities around the state and to consult with the Climate Justice Working Group, which is an entity that the bill creates within DEC. So, you know, it creates an entity specifically focused on climate justice. And then the bill further requires that by 2024, that DEC prepares a strategy to reduce emissions in specific communities and implement programs in specific areas. And then they select different areas annually. So basically, they're starting to roll this out and then, yep. you know, get proof of concept, make sure along with this working group that they're having the effect that they're intending to have, and then begin to scale it up around the state from there.
Right. And in this case, it rather than wait for the Climate Action Council to start to roadmap or scope this, they're actually laying out a roadmap and getting greater community level data, which is really valuable.
Yeah, and the deadline for starting that air monitoring program precedes the deadline for DEC to start promulgating regulations to implementing to achieve the goals of the bill. So
yep.
that is like right out of the gate something that they want this bill to achieve, which is yep. excellent.
So a very ambitious bill, and a bill that As we're talking about environmental justice issues, it goes to what the IPCC describes as intersectionality, but yes. Kind of a crazy word. Some people call it describe it as interdisciplinary. This is a climate is a multifaceted issue, and it's interesting that this bill actually makes a serious, sincere attempt to address the multifaceted concerns that exist and the opportunities for clean energy and jobs.
Yeah, it's really important that that's a big aspect of this legislation. And again, I think that given the timeline that this bill is working through and the ambition, there will need to be legislation going forward in the future to continue to improve upon it. And if something's not getting the desired outcome in communities, particularly in these communities that have been defined as disadvantaged through the legislation, then there should be additional legislation to make sure that we can change the program so that we do achieve the outcomes we're seeking.
Mm-hmm. So tell us more about where we can learn more about the Nature Conservancy, and we'll be sure to post the links on the website for these podcasts as well.
Oh, thanks. So you can go to nature.org, and if you want to learn more about our New York programs, you can go to nature.org/New York.
Great. We have been talking with Jessica Otney-Mahar of the Nature Conservancy. Really appreciate your time and great discussion.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.